Hatshuva from Rav Kook, and tomorrow Rabbi Klinger will be doing Rambam Hilchas Tshuva, like sort of the classic. And then the other classic, the other Musar classic, Rav Aryeh will be leading us in Shari Tshuva of Rabbeinu Yonah. Okay? And welcome to Rav Aryeh Schneider, joining the team, our program director. He'll be integrally involved in...
He's already taken over the tech.
There you go. Exactly. In all that we do programming-wise here. Okay. So I want to start actually, turn the page. We're actually going to start on the next page. And I want to wish a fond Tzeiska Meshalom to Gabe Raskis, who's going back to Eretz Yisrael tomorrow for Shana Bet. Josh Hyman's going back to Eretz Yisrael. Nat Nil, Tanel Jason going back to Eretz Yisrael. Ella's going back to Eretz Yisrael too. We wish you guys well, and you'll go off on this note. Okay, so it's page Yud Gimel, Perek Bet. Tshuva pitomit u'tshuva hadargit. Okay, so there's tshuva pitomit, tshuva which is like, you know, instantaneous, and then there's tshuva hadargit. There's tshuva that's staged, right? That's gradual. Legabe meshech zmana hatshuva mitchalekat lishnei chalakim. When it comes to, like, how does tshuva happen? Over what amount of time does it happen? Meshech zmana, its duration. It can be divided up into two categories. Tshuva pitomit u'tshuva hadargit, as we said. Hapitomit ba'a mitoch eze barak ruchani hanichnas b'neshama. It's a beautiful, just beautiful language that Rav Kook uses here. When we talk about this instantaneous, this tshuva that just happens like automatic, like right away, like an epiphany kind of, it comes through a barak ruchani, a spiritual lightning, a spiritual lightning bolt, right? That just that enters into our neshama. B'pam achat makir hu etara v'atakiur shel achet v'ne'epach li'ish acher. And it can happen in one instant. You recognize the evil. You recognize sort of the immorality of one's ways. The kiur shel achet, how disgusting, how like unbecoming of you is that sin, and you turn into another person, right? We have stories like this in the Gemara. The one that comes to mind in particular, Rabbi Elazar ben Dordaya is one that comes to mind. Anyone else? Rish Lakish is a story like that, beautiful, right? And, you know, it's interesting because we think about, you know, there's someone who's like, who do we think about that's like kind of the ultimate sinner, like Nebuch. He couldn't pull it together. Yeah. Elisha ben Abuya, Acher. And Elisha ben Abuya had an opportunity. He had a Rish Lakish moment. It's really interesting, right? Rish Lakish's moment was he's robbing Rabbi Yochanan, right, down at the river, at the Jordan. And Rabbi Yochanan is, you know, in a compromised position. He's in the water, and he's not dressed or whatever. And Rish Lakish says, wow, he sees the way, how strong he was, how he jumped over the river, came in after him, whatever it was. And he says, what to him? Chelach le'oraita. He says, wow, your strength should be used for Torah. It's unbelievable. And then, you know, he said, all right, well, you know, you're a good-looking guy. Is your sister, you know, as good-looking, you know? And he's like, yeah, my sister's even better-looking than I am. Married my sister. Done. It worked out. Baruch Hashem. Acher, Elisha ben Abuya, used to learn with his Rebbe, Rabbi Meir. They were like best friends, and they kept learning together even after Elisha went on this bad path. And one day, it was a Shabbos, and they're traveling, and, you know, he's on his horse. Elisha ben Acher is on his horse, and Reb Meir is, you know, walking, and all of a sudden Elisha says, all right, Meir, stop. So what's wrong? You're about to hit the Tchum Shabbos. He's on his horse, right, and doing whatever. He's like, you're about to hit the Tchum Shabbos. He knows halacha better than even Reb Meir, and he cares about it for Reb Meir more, obviously, than for himself. And Meir just looks at him and goes, Chazor b'cha. Enough. And now this is crazy. Do tshuva. This is nuts, do tshuva. And he could have had it. Like, you know, all he had to do was turn around and that would have been it. But he couldn't do it. And he said, well, I can't. He says, I heard a bas kol, I heard a heavenly voice that said, shuvu banim shovavim, return your wayward children. And it says, return your wayward children, chutz me'acher, except for acher. Right? And everyone talks about, like, come on. There's no way. Like, what does it even mean? First of all, like, did it really say chutz me'acher, or did it say return my wayward children? So maybe it was return my wayward children, and he had in his mind, he projected chutz me'acher, there's no way I can do it. Or even if you say, Michtam Eliyahu says, even if you say that, no, it said chutz except for acher, it's still part of the test. Of course he could turn around. There's a famous story of the Kotzker Rebbe. You have to talk about this tshuva pitomit. Right, this famous story of the Kotzker Rebbe. You know, the Kotzker, towards the end of his life, he spends the last 13 years of his life in semi-seclusion. Okay, and he's up in his attic. That's where you can find me in a few years, and maybe I'll say hi every once in a while. You know, and last 19 years of his life, excuse me, in semi-seclusion, and the Chassidim would still come. They would flock to him. He was just such this enigmatic, incredible persona. And they would learn in this base medrash downstairs, hoping to get a glimpse of the Rebbe, right? And every once in a while. And one day, after, you know, months and months, he comes downstairs. I told this story once on Yom Kippur Kol Nidre. He comes downstairs and says, oh, Rebbe, oh, it's so great to see you. Amazing. Wow, we've missed you. Where have you been? And he just looks at him with like fire in his eyes. And he says, did you do tshuva yet? What? Did you do tshuva yet? Simple question. Did you do tshuva? Well, you know, it's a process. It's a duration. It's gradual. It's not so easy. And he looks at them and he says, doing tshuva is just as simple as turning around. And he turns around and he walks right back up to his attic. And they don't see him, right? And they don't see him for another few months, right? That's the idea is it can happen. It can happen if you have the right inspiration and you can do it. And you already feel inside yourself a tremendous change for the good, for the better. There are stories like this. There really are. It's not just Gemara stories, it's not just Hasidic stories. There are stories like this of people that just all of a sudden they just wake up and they're like, whoa, what am I doing? Where am I going? And they just start going in a different direction. It may not be you do everything all at once, but you did. You did something. You did something. Tshuva zu ba'a al yedei ezo hafa'a shel segula pnimit. This tshuva comes through some sort of expression, some sort of experience of like that's like of an inner segula, like something just special happens inside you. You can't really explain it. Al yedei ezo hashpa'a nishmatit gedola. Through some sort of spiritual influence, some sort of influence in your soul, you just feel it. You just feel there's something wrong with what I'm about to do. There's something, it just, this isn't me. And it shouldn't be me, right? And you're lucky enough to hear that piece of your soul. Rav Kook talks about this a lot. In Rav Kook's world, spirituality, it's not just Rav Kook, it's a lot in Kabbalistic, you know, circles. Spirituality is about, it's not about being outward. It's actually about being inward. It's about looking deep inside your soul. What do we call, in fact, what do we call the inner dimension of Torah? What do we call it? Pnimius. The Pnimius of Torah. The Pnim, right? If I go deep inside myself, it doesn't mean I get lost in my head. It's the opposite. I'm in touch with my soul. The experience of davening, of tefillah, is Pnimius, is being in touch with your soul. Right, so the more internal I can get, the more in touch I am with my soul, with my neshama, and you feel it. Something happens. Shiroi l'chapeset nitivotea b'inkei ta'aluma, that you're able in some way to kind of search out the pathways inside the depth of your soul. Okay, that's one type of tshuva. Like, wow, amazing. V'yeshna tshuva hadargit. Then there's the tshuva that's gradual. Lo brika hibrika b'kirbo. There's no lightning bolt. There's no epiphany, you know, light bulb that goes off b'kirbo li'tapech mina omek shel hara latov. Ela margishu shetzarich liyot holech u'metiv drachav v'rachot chayav. Rather, you just feel like, you know what? I need to become a better person. I gotta do this for my kids. I gotta be a better father. I gotta be a better grandfather, a better brother, a better sister. I just need to do this. Like, I don't wanna be living my life this way anymore. I have to start doing things better. Halach machshavotav ubimahalcho ze holechu ukovesh la'at et darchei ha-yosher. What are you doing? You're kind of thinking, you're contemplating, you're weighing the things that you do, the things that you say, and little by little, you start getting better. Mitakena tamidot. And you start fixing yourself, fixing your character traits, making better choices. Meitiva tamasim. Milamedet atzmo ich leitkasher yoter v'yoter. Ad shehu ba lema'ala rama shel zikuch v'tikun. And you keep fixing yourself more and more, better and better, until you get to this really exalted level of purity and rectification. It's very clear that Rav Kook seems to be placing primacy on tshuva dargit over tshuva pitomit. Mm-hmm. Because, tshuva pitomit is like a miracle. It's like, okay, great, all right, I saw God, I felt God. Okay, now what? Now what? Where do I go from here? Right? It can't just be that, I'm like, I turned it around. Okay, now what? Where do you go? Well, there has to be learning. There has to be davening. There has to be tikkun amidot. There has to be chesed. There has to be tzedakah. There has to be all sorts of things that come along with it. And then he says, "Atshuva ha'elyona ba mehavraka shel atova klali." And he says, the greatest form of tshuva, this is very, very Rav Kook, comes from that lightning bolt of inspiration of tova klali. How can I better the klal? How do I include myself within the achdus of klal Yisrael? Shalatove alokia shorev olamot kulam. How can I make the world a better place? Or chai ha'olamim, the light of the eternal world. Nishmat kol atzilit mitzdayeret lefanenu behodau kedushata kama shehalev yachol lispog. V'halo be'emes hakol hu tov v'yashar kol kach v'yosh v'atov shabanu halo hu ba mehit amatenu el hakol. He says the greatest positive things that we bring out into the world, it comes from our actually facing world. So yes, you need to be internal and listen to your soul, but ultimately, that really needs to lead you to be external, looking at the world and looking at people and saying, wow, how can I actually make a positive impact on the world? How can I make a positive impact on the klal? The world, think about the Jewish world in particular, think Israel right now, it's burning. It's crazy. And whether you're on the right or you're on the left and you think Philadelphia, you think not, hostages, or you think this, or you think that, and you're mad at this guy and you're mad at that guy, the reality is it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Why? Because there's a cloud that's suffering. There's a cloud that's suffering. So it doesn't really matter whether you're on the right or on the left. Well, each side is going to have an argument that says it's going to lead to loss of life. It's a reality. It's painful. It's so painful. It's so upsetting. But it's true. So what do you do about it? What do you do about it? You walk over to another human being and you give them a smile and a hello and a hug, and you see someone a little bit in trouble, or someone who's dealing with who's suffering, who's dealing with challenges, and you try to help them. Jew, non-Jew, whatever. That's the El Yonah, he says. That's the ultimate. Ve'ich efshar liyot karua min hakol. How could a person be torn away from everyone else? How could you expect to be a great person, a person that lives their lives, that lives their life from a repentant, a penitent person, a tshuva-oriented person, a growth-oriented person, if you are torn away, that word, by the way, you rip yourself away from everyone else. Parur mishuneh, mufrad ke'avak dak, shekalo nechshav, like you're some speck of dust that's separate from everyone, from everything. You're going to be kelo nechshav. You don't matter. You're nothing. ומתוך הכרה זו שהיא הכרה אלוקית באמת באה תשובה בחיי הפרט ובחיי הכלל. So ultimately he says, תשובה פתאומית, wow, amazing. You could be amazing. You could be like Rabbi Elazar ben Nadari. You could be like Reish Lakish. By the way, you could be Rabbi Akiva also. They talk about Rabbi Akiva. Seeing that, it sort of happens. It happens over time. But there was a point where he said, all right, now I'm going to do it. And then he kind of did both. Pitomit, right? And then Dargit, right? Because he's on his way. Amazing. How could I be like that? But then, and then you know, we could want to do that. We could also want to just become better over time, a little bit better every year. That's the beauty, by the way, of Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. It's a beauty of it, right? Say, okay, instead of in the New Year, you know, New Year song, you know, they all ba 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 be forgot, blah 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 blah. What are they saying? They're saying we're gonna drink and we're gonna forget everything that we did this year, because who knows what we actually did or didn't do. We'll forget about it and we'll just make the same mistakes over and over again. Yahadut says, Judaism says, no, we're gonna remember our mistakes every single year. And you know what? Each time we do it, maybe one al-chait out of the hundreds that we do over Yom Kippur and the Avim al-Kins, whatever, we could actually say, hey, you know what? I didn't do that one this year. I got a little better. Right? That's the beauty of it. So Mir Tashem, we get there. But ultimately, what we really need, and this Rev Cook says, is to have this recognition. That if I am for myself, right, Ma'anila atzmi, Ma'ani. If I'm karua me'akol, if I tear myself away from the klal, if I don't look at myself as a human being, as a Jew, as part of the greater whole, I got nothing. But if I could do the opposite, if I could actually just jump in, into the mikvah of Am Yisrael, of Klal Yisrael, anything is possible. And I could be zaycha to not only tshuva pitomi, not only tshuva dargit, but to tshuva klalit, that could bring about the Mirtz Hashem Atikud, not just for us, but for our families, for our community, and for all the clients. Shkoya! Yeah. Thank you.